Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
An Erio's original.
I was born with a special gift. The ability to mentally transform any situation into the worst case scenario in my own brain. My therapist calls my gift catastrophizing. And that's why I'm uniquely qualified to scrutinize and analyze history's greatest disasters and find out who's to blame. They say history repeats itself. Not on my watch. My name is Rebecca Delgado Smith, and I am the Alarmist.
Hey everyone, thanks for tuning in to The Alarmist, a comedy podcast where we talk about history's greatest tragedies and figure out who's to blame. Today we're discussing the Erfurt latrine disaster. Here's what you need to know. In July of 1184, King Heinrich VI of Germany called for a diet. No, not the kind you're thinking of. This diet, or Diet as it was actually called, was an assembly intended to resolve a bitter, long-running quarrel between Landgrave Ludwig III of Thuringia and Archbishop Conrad I of Mainz. King Heinrich summoned the two men to meet in the German city of Erfurt, in the legendary Petersburg Citadel, along with several count gentlemen, princes, bishops, archbishops, and citizens. Ludwig and Conrad met with the king on the second floor of St. Peter's Church, or Peterskirche, for this very important mediation. Peterskirche was among the structures that survived the Petersburg Citadel's early period. It was part of a monastery and had its own latrine, which differed slightly from the typical bathroom of a medieval castle called a guardrobe. A guardrobe was a small window bay that protruded from the exterior wall of a castle. The interior of that window bay featured a wooden seat with a hole on which one would sit, their waist dropping out of the hole and down the wall to the castle's exterior grounds. The latrine at Peterskirche was an actual room inside the structure on a lower level, with benches lining the walls. One would sit on a hole in the bench and discard their waste into a cesspit below. The cesspit was supposed to be emptied manually, but because it wasn't the most desirable of duties, it was done infrequently. The day of the fateful meeting at St. Peter's Church, the attendees gathered on the second floor in a room directly above the church's latrine. The large number of well-fed German nobility proved to be too much for the structure, and the wooden beams collapsed under the pressure. An entire floor of dignitaries went crashing into the latrine and the cesspit below, dozens of whom drowned in the liquid waste. An undignified end for any man, to say the least. Fun facts, aka death stats. Approximately 60 people died when the second floor collapsed into the latrine at St. Peter's Church, many of whom were nobles of the Holy Roman Empire. Landgrave Ludwig III, Archbishop Conrad I, and King Heinrich VI, or King Henry VI, were miraculously spared from death thanks to their proximity to a stone alcove that did not collapse. With us today, we have producer Clayton Early.
Hello, everybody.
Fact checker Chris Smith.
Hi.
And our very special guest is comedian Jackie Cation. Woo! Hi, Jackie.
Woo! Hello. I feel welcome. Thank you so much.
We're so excited to have you on. Please, our Alarmy members, please note that Jackie's new album and special, Staycation, is coming out November 16, which is before this podcast comes out. So you can just literally Google it, find it, listen to it.
Consume it, enjoy it.
Oh,
give
my God.
Me the only thing I want to hear from anyone, I really liked it. Thanks. Mm. I'm not going to need any notes.
No notes?
Too late. Too late.
After the fact.
Thanks for playing, but no.
So, noted. Jackie, we like to start our show by asking our guests, what is something that is recently alarming you? What is something that's keeping you up at night?
Wow, because it is the alarmist. You're not wrong. But I don't know if you've looked outdoors at all. But
tell us more.
The entire planet, we're going through the laziest civil war I've ever seen in my life. It feels distinctly American. It's just like, no, make him do it. No, I don't want to. No, it's the only people really interested are genuinely fringe. We're talking real fringe are the only ones who really want to take part. The rest of us are like, can I get a check or a balance? Some sort of.
So, what concern you more is that not everybody's really, nobody's up for the Civil War?
Or that
is it the
we're
war
in
itself?
A Civil War.
probably the former,
speaking
right?
Speaking of things you're going to want to delete. I think it's where, you know how like we spent the last, I don't know, I would say since 2008 and everyone was surprised that the most qualified person for the job happened to be a black man, and he had to be like the smartest, nicest, you know, non sleeping around black man in the whole wide world so that he could be elected. And then, you know, he did a pretty good job, and everyone got to sleep at night. And then there was trouble. And then, and then every rock in this country turned over,
right,
and worm people roam free. And then what happened after that was there's a global pandemic. So you guys.
Things are going great.
Things are going great. I have actually taken up a fair amount of meditation and I've reintroduced myself to any sort of higher power, some sort of God, big
sure.
God, anything.
Hey,
I'm looking for a pantheon recently. So just something to help take the edge off of what I'm saying.
Well, you know, Jackie, this is the perfect transition because perhaps this God could be a porcelain God.
Porcelain God. Yes.
Nice. I have to tell you, that is a hell of a transition, but let's get into it.
It's there. We're definitely
there. There's
something
there. We can work with it, and we will.
There's always something there.
You know? So perhaps we should start off by talking about
this scene, what it must have been like to be part of this, you know, latrine disaster, as it's called.
To be a guest.
You know, we're to be a guest, one of those invited, the lucky hundreds. So we're talking like 60 noblemen are drowning. The floor falls and 60 noblemen drown in years worth of shit. It's not fresh shit even.
It's so wonderful. The image of just like the noblemen falling into shit. Like it's kind of sweet.
Kind of
justice.
Amazing. It's like one of those karmic things that never happens. And you're like, this really happened. And let's talk first of all about plumbing. Okay. So we're in we're in a castle. First of all, there's a garter robe. A garter robe, I've heard of them. And I did not know that it was essentially a bay window where you would sit and poop down the side of your castle.
Yes.
And they had one on every floor, so I assume they staggered them so it didn't land on top of the person who was... Anyway.
You would think.
Wouldn't you be afraid for your bare butt hanging out of an open hole outside of your house? I'd be worried about that.
I guess
that.
It doesn't matter because you can't really put a face to the butt.
But
you know?
Someone could...
Oh, look up
face,
and see a butt?
Someone could put a face to your butt if it was low enough in your house.
No.
All I know is I once read a book that had a several paragraphs describing the cleaning of garter robes. And I didn't really understand what it meant. What it is like sort of putting sweet grass down it to make it less stinky. It wasn't buckets of water. It wasn't like they didn't clean it, but they did. It was essentially lavender or like sweet grass or something, and then a bucket of water to sort of send it down onto the side.
You know, I haven't been able to stop thinking about these garter robes as well. And, you know, the way I understood it is that they're on the outside of the castle walls, right?
Right. Yeah.
So just imagine you're one of these people who are like, okay, upon us, we're finally getting to Castle Erfurt or whatever. And all you see is shit trickling down the castle walls. Am I correct?
It's such a beautiful structure. It must have taken them decades to build it. Oh, right. Poop dripping down the side of that. But remember, this castle had fancier latrine. It was an indoor latrine, remember?
Right. So this one is actually... So the one that's in this church, in this monastery, you know, is more of a room that has a hole in it that... and then there are these benches that go along the walls and they have holes, you know,
like it stalls. It's yes. Almost right. like mm-hmm. There's many, it might not have door things,
but there are no doors. Like so you'd be sitting like, it's like if the four of us were in this room, we'd just be looking at each other. I might sit next to Kat.
I think they're
Jackie.
Called men's rooms.
Are you going in the men's room, Jackie? How do you know that?
I have four brothers. They often don't have walls between them. Truth. And they often don't have doors.
So
I don't
just
understand why
shop.
You guys don't deserve. Yeah. Anyway,
it is. It's a good question. Why you think that they feel like they can't? They don't deserve separation.
21st century. I think men deserve walls, doors on their stalls while they have a moment, have a private.
I love a good partition, like a good solid partition, a little
tall. I like it when it goes all the way to the ceiling and floor too. Like yes.
Why not? Why not add a door too? You guys deserve it.
I'm guessing the Disney castle that we see before every film had the indoor latrine because those white castles look so pristine before every shot, you know?
Yes.
All of a sudden. And then, so there was that bench, and then they all fell into a cesspool, yeah. Right?
Right.
Just a note on back to the men's room. You guys probably don't know this, but it's typical for a guy, like guys don't, like, I guess guys are ashamed of pooping, so they don't want to go into the stalls unless they have to, right? So we'll use the urinals. But what a guy does if he does pee in a stall is that he'll leave the door open to prove that he's not pooping because it's a shameful.
No!
This is a shameful act. Do you do that, Clayton?
I close the door, but I know exactly what you're talking about because I'm like,
do that. You'll go into a stall and you'll be like, "There's a guy in here. Like, why don't you close the door?"
Right.
And it's like they're
too
ashamed
lazy.
Of
you. Really deserve better. you know, hot takes over here.
Whatever.
Hot takes of self-worth. Let's work on that. Yeah. Okay.
So there's a cesspit, right? They all fall down. Let's please note the fact that these things don't get cleaned ever, really.
They were supposed to be. Right.
They were supposed to be, but like if you didn't have to, you could also like just close it up and open up another hole somewhere else.
The guy who doesn't show up to work that day, he's just like, I don't want to do this
anymore. Not for me.
I'm, like, I'm not the one who's shoveling out the cesspit so that we can continue to poop into this one part underneath.
Okay, my question is, where does the guy then put that amount of shit?
Yeah,
like the shit that
go?
Comes out of the shithole.
He finds a bear in the woods.
How do you get into it though? Like, do you, because wouldn't you just open the door and it all just fall out? Like, how, where do you get into it?
Fancy cesspool architecture. I don't know.
No, we don't know.
Okay, so
I don't understand how they fell in. So if you got
yes.
that.
Okay, let's get
okay,
to that.
Okay, well, we're going to get to that because that has to do with wood. but we're, okay, so they fall in, they're dying, they're literally drowning. Ugh. And Ludwig the Third, who is one of the people who is in the feud, one of the guys that's part of the feud, he actually falls down into the cesspit as well. Hmm. He scrapes himself on the way down. He doesn't drown. He survives. He gets pulled out of the shit and miraculously does not get any kind of infection and goes on to, you know, fight in some crusades and eventually dies.
Who was the other...
So there's the Archbishop and Ludwig are the ones
who are fighting.
Over some land, probably.
Yes, which we'll get to. But King Henry is the mediator, essentially.
Okay. Mm. So these are our three main players. And then there's like 100 other dudes.
Yes. Yes. So King Henry and the Archbishop, they actually don't fall because at the moment that the floor literally caves underneath them, they had stepped off to the side to speak in secret, you know? So they're literally clinging to windows and walls.
You know what they didn't step aside to do? Wash their hands. This we know.
Yes, there are no sinks in these in these latrines, right? Mm-hmm. No picture shows
no 20 seconds of happy birthday going on there.
That's right.
They hadn't invented happy birthday yet. That's why people didn't wash their hands.
It's nice. It's also nice that people are not that intense about that anymore because I don't like washing my hands after I use the bathroom. It's just lame.
A lot of info, Christopher. You might want to cut that out.
We'll cut that out.
We'll leave that in. Yeah. That's important information for everyone else.
The next time Christopher offers to shake hands, grain of salt, everybody. Mm-hmm. Try to get a whole bunch of salt in between.
Now that we're all doing Zoom stuff now,
so you are sitting in your own little cesspool.
That's right.
While we record.
Yeah. Let's put lazy toilet design up on the board for starters. You know, I could read, I'll read you a little info from World History Encyclopedia, which says, viewed from the interior, the toilet was set back in a recess or within a mural chamber, a passage within a wall, but not all were given the luxury of a wooden door, like we said. A short, narrow passageway sometimes led to the toilet, often with a right angle turn for greater privacy. Pairs of toilets separated by a wall were not uncommon, and these might share the same waste chute. The toilet seat was made of wooden bench coverings, the shaft hole in the masonry. The wood was usually cut with a rectangular or keyhole aperture. Hay
you said
grass.
Shaft. You said shaft. Hilarious. I'll be over here. I'm 9 years old.
Thank you, Jackie.
Sorry.
Hay grass or even moss were used as toilet paper. That was the toilet paper of the time.
There you go. Mm-hmm.
So we're putting the lazy toilet design, you know, because as humans, we are inventive and we're also lazy with our inventions, right? We don't think long term.
They weren't getting creative. Like they were just like, well, this is shit. It doesn't have to be like now we have toilets that will wipe your butt for you and they're, you know, they light up. But back then it was like, it's just shit. So we don't care.
It's not just the lazy toilet design too. Do we also want to put in like just the cesspool location being directly underneath the toilet. Like there's no
poor choice
separation.
There's nowhere. I don't know if there's a slide they could have put or a, you know, I this is the invention of plumbing, I guess I'm coming up with.
Yes.
Genius.
A tube.
A tube that could transport the shit into a different location that I don't see.
Interesting. What are you calling that? Oh, plumbing.
But I guess it's like nobody ever thought, like, we're just going to be above this cesspool the whole time. Also, who's the architect who put the main meeting room right above?
I'm not sure who the actual architect is, but it was a poor choice. And I think that up on the board, we should put just the idea, the concept of kicking the can down the road, you know? It's like, we'll deal with it later.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that comes up a lot.
I think that defines the Middle Ages. I feel like.
Yes.
We'll deal with civilization later.
The true crime here was that the two guys who were bitching about the land, both of them lived, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, my
goodness. Of course.
Of course.
We got to put them up on the board. Let's just get them up on the board.
Let's put them up on the board. And who are these people? Let's talk a bit about this people and this religious feud / land dispute that they are that they're intertwined in. The History of Yesterday website says King Henry VI had to mediate in a conflict between the Landgrave Louis III, which is Ludwig III, and the Archbishop of Mainz. The conflict between the two rulers must be understood against the background of the then prevailing investiture controversy of 1066 to 1122, the struggle between secular and spiritual rulers over the right to appoint bishops. Now, what happens is that anti-pope Victor IV dies in 1164, and Conrad refuses to support his successor, anti-pope Pascal III. Conrad is the archbishop, okay? Conrad lost the emperor's support, the emperor and the position as archbishop, and then he flees to France and then to Rome. So he leaves. Eventually, he comes back, right? But Ludwig the Third, who's been there the whole time, he's in Thuringia.
Okay.
Okay.
So he's known as Ludwig the Pious and Ludwig the Mild, although he's also the nephew of Emperor Frederick Barbarossa, who is King Henry's dad, the guy who comes to mediate. He's the second son of the emperor. And now Ludwig is actually related to this guy. They're cousins.
Okay.
Contrary to his nickname, Ludwig feuded. He's not really Ludwig the Mild. He actually loved to feud with noble families in Thuringia.
A bit of a pill. Sounds like a button pusher to me.
Ludwig the Spicy, maybe.
Ludwig the Pill, you mean? He loves to fight with the rulers of neighboring territories, and specifically with the Archbishop of Mainz, because apparently the Archbishop is kind of pushing his buttons.
Okay.
Is what happens. Mm-hmm. He's like, he comes back and he's like, I want to get this castle. You know, this is my castle now. And he's like, no, this is a land dispute. And he's like, whatever. And he either starts building a castle or he starts like just repairing one of the castles. He's like, no, buddy, get out of here. Like, that's mine. And so this is where the feud starts to, you know, come into play. Mm. But what happens is, and this is where it's important that we understand that the emperor is actually his uncle, this guy's uncle. The archbishop is known for throwing really great parties. Okay. Big parties.
Yeah, like, those are big Catholics, man. They know, they let the wine flow. Yes.
So he loves to throw these big parties. And when he finds out, when the emperor finds out that Ludwig and the archbishop are feuding, he doesn't right away say, give it to my nephew, give it to Ludwig. He just kind of like sends his son and is like, just go deal with it. Maybe like the two of them could be happy because like I still want to get invited to these parties.
Mm. Oh, that's why he was trying to placate the party guy, even though he's the emperor.
Exactly. That's how good those parties must have been.
Mm-hmm. That's an amazing. When you're the emperor, you should just go, who's your party planner? She's my party planner.
Yeah.
Don't you? I mean, it's so weird.
You well, should have been the right hand woman.
Well, I think, that's how wars get started, honestly. Can't take my party planner.
So let's put not wanting to ruin the party up on the board. And I also think that we need to talk about these wooden floors that
clearly needed to be replaced.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, from fumes below, you think, eating away at the floors?
Oh, the fumes. I wonder. It's possible. Well,
it's or people missed.
Yeah. Wood rot.
Wood
from
rot.
Lazy boys.
Well,
from
literally, wood rot was what was deemed the reason why the floor collapsed. Yeah.
Mm. All right.
Yes.
What were they using?
Ooh, wait a minute. I don't want to jump ahead.
Please.
But I will one moment, at one point during this discussion, want to know, did heads roll?
Did heads roll?
Did heads toilet roll? But I mean, but the thing is, right. Was anyone held responsible?
Right, right.
Absolutely not. I don't think anyone.
What?
Spoiler alert.
I have an even bigger spoiler alert. I'm pretty sure that there's no record of this feud ever being solved after this.
Good.
Oh, really? Good. They didn't even get to it?
They didn't even solve it.
Jeez.
From what I could read. Right. Now, this is from BR Radio. The beams of the floor were old and rotten and not used to the weight of so many men. And so suddenly the ground gave way under their feet. They fell one floor below. And here, too, the beams could not withstand the force of the falling men. Pastor Leitzman, I'm not going to say this right, a pastor who researched the event said, everyone who did not sit in the lattice windows fell into the depths. So two floors gave way.
So is this like a no, like this is before maximum occupancy day. So should we put like no maximum
That's
occupancy
right.
up there?
Right, right, right.
Good point.
And weight by stone.
Right.
You know, no more than 18 stone, 6 dudes.
Yes.
And
some of the books, you know, some of the stuff I read about them, they kept referring to how fat these noblemen were.
Ooh. I'm sure. I'm sure. They were just like, well, I mean, that's the thing about noblemen. So, they always get seconds. I mean, there's not.
I mean, you also wonder if the reason why they didn't use those original garters or whatever mm-hmm. out on the sides of the castles is they're too lazy to get up
to go up the stairs.
Go up the stairs or go to those. So they were like, hey, can we get a bathroom that's closer? We'll get some guy to clean it out every once in a while. It's got to be a nobleman's idea if it's anybody's.
Well, right. Yeah. But you understand it was right underneath. Okay. The cesspit was underneath. Oh, I see.
I got you.
You wanted to be closer as opposed to like leaving the castle walls or whatever.
Fat noblemen were like, you know, well, let's just, I don't want to walk all the way over to the edge of the castle. It's probably not. They're probably not close to it.
We don't mean to fat shame the fabulously wealthy people of the Middle Ages.
No.
But seriously, everybody.
Yeah, I apologize for that.
There were serfs.
No
well,
more than
it never happened
10th.
When you know the monks were up on the second floor. It took a bunch of noblemen
it's
for
true.
That to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Up on the board, two more things.
Okay.
Too many mediators. Too many, you know.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Why? Mm-hmm.
Why?
So many chefs. So many chefs.
Too many chefs.
They, you know, as he made his way through the territory, King Henry VI, only 19 at the time, called for a meeting involving a number of the region's nobles and high-ranking officials. Some may have been expected to act as mediators during the negotiations. So
that explains
it.
He's 19.
Yeah.
Oh.
He's like, just get them all here. We'll all just hang out and talk about it.
The other thing that comes to mind is that, you know, this was a networking event for these people. So many people wanted to come to this diet because it was a networking opportunity. Because, yeah, sure, they were going to solve this feud, but it's also a chance to meet up with these other high-ranking nobles.
Right.
I mean, the son of the Holy Roman Emperor is going to be there. So you're going to want to
rub. Yeah, you're going to meet bookers. You're going to meet, yeah, it's going to be great. You're just like,
bookers. The ultimate high status.
Exactly. I'm hoping to work that run through Italy. You get that, who books that? Oh, that guy? All right, I'm going to go get him a clam or whatever, or like a crab leg.
Jackie, you would have done great in the Middle Ages. Yeah.
Would have really ruled. Literally.
You gotta think too about the I really want to blame this grouping, but you also got to blame the person who put them in this room. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, can't we pick a better? Why were there so many? Why did everybody have to go at once? What happened?
So we should throw the king on the board, I guess. Right?
Let's throw the king
on the board.
It was his idea, you know. It was his idea to do it this way. Is there anything else that we want to throw up on the board?
Networking.
I missed, you said there were two more things and then I only got too many mediators. What was the second thing?
Oh, no proper convention center, perhaps, for this networking event? They should have thought of that.
Oh, they really should have. Talk to Comic-Con.
But seriously, I've always I've always poo-pooed on convention centers.
Nice.
You just, hello.
Thank you.
You know, it's,
but they're good is what
but
you're
they're
saying.
Good is what I'm learning after this.
They clearly have a reason to be, and there needs to be some organizers. Do we know why they all were in the bathroom at the same time?
Well, they were on the floor above the bathroom.
Oh, right. And it fell through.
Yes.
And then
yes.
The bathroom floor also fell through. Yes. And then they fell through to the bottom.
Yes. Correct.
60 to 100 people just falling two floors into shit. That's the image that we're thinking of.
That is. Wow.
I think we have to throw something that we often talk about on the show related to many different tragedies is just a lack of or very poor maintenance. Right? Like, if it had actually been maintained, like they probably said they would when they built it to all of the noblemen. Don't worry, we'll clean it all out.
Perhaps they would have only been knee deep in shit.
Exactly. And you can deal with that for a lot longer than like a pool of shit.
Yeah.
That how much shit has to be in there when you're for you to drown in it? So much.
They say just a teaspoon of shit can.
Ruin my day.
Okay.
I think the FDA allows 11 million, one part per 11 million. And I don't know if it could drown in you. But
okay. Well, those are modern standards.
I don't know how deep it was. Does it say?
I couldn't find a. There wasn't proper documentation.
I bet you some of them got knocked out as they went through two floors.
I gotta think. Oh yeah,
solid rock, and they and they might have drowned because they were unconscious.
Correct.
And they might have died in the fall. They might have been crushed by their fellows.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, in a way, that's probably better than drowning in the shit, right?
Yeah.
And what did their descendants have to say? How did whatever happened to Uncle Ron? Well, we don't talk about him anymore.
We don't talk about Uncle Ron.
He just had to be at this networking event.
That guy wanted the work.
Well, okay, so I think let's take a break, and then we're going to start knocking things off the list.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Okay, who is to blame for the Erfurt latrine disaster? Lazy toilet design, kicking the can down the road? Landgrave Ludwig III of Thuringia? Archbishop Conrad I of Mainz? Not wanting to ruin the party? No maximum occupancy safety protocols? Too many mediators? King Heinrich VI? No proper convention center? Lack of proper maintenance? And I was going to say, Clayton, I wanted to add networking.
Mm.
Just the
idea. The need to network.
Just the idea added. Of, you know what, what I mean by that is, you know, needing to be there, you know?
Sure.
It's like part FOMO, part anxiety about your career stuff.
Right. Like if you know there's going to be 90 other guys there, you're like, they got it. I don't need to add my voice to that room.
Right.
They're probably going to be able to solve this
right.
without me.
No, I'm the one who, they need me. I must be there.
It's like those people who believe that these are the end times because they can't imagine the world going on without them. Anyway.
That's right.
Now what do? We vote?
We got to cross things off the list. I mean, you know, we do a process of elimination here.
Okay.
I think right off the bat, my inkling is to take off not wanting to ruin the party.
Yeah, I don't think that added to the, I don't think that caused this problem. Yeah, I think you are correct.
Yeah, and I also think that kicking the can down the road folds into a lack of proper maintenance.
Yeah, that's what that is.
Okay. And you know?
I think we're going to be left with a lack of proper maintenance. I think that's going to be...
You're calling it.
I'm going to project that...
Okay.
Yeah.
Jackie's like the guy in front of the CNN guy who's in front of the board projecting winners and losers of the election.
Right.
What is that?
Right. I'm touting this thing. So King Heinrich.
Yeah.
So we'd like to blame him, but did he know about architecture?
He got the people in the room. So I guess if you want to be just that simple about it, we could be like, well, if he hadn't called that many people.
Well, and if there hadn't been a feud between these two guys.
Exactly.
I think if anything, it's more the two guys. We got Ludwig and Archbishop.
Right. Those two guys could come off and the king, I think.
I think so.
Think the king can come off too.
Being removed.
Okay.
How do we feel about like lazy toilet design?
It's kind of fancy toilet design.
It's a good point.
It's a new world of toilet design. This indoor business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think for the time it wasn't. It was what they had.
You can't blame the toilet. I guess it's more like they didn't consider proper ventilation, proper flow.
Right. And I guess they didn't, the blacksmith didn't want to use all the iron they had, or I don't understand why it was all wood. Get why it was wood.
Right. I mean, I'm assuming the cathedral or the church is built out of stone,
mm-hmm.
right? Mm-hmm. In those times, that's...
And you probably need a good HVAC system. You know, if you have a bunch of wood in medieval times, you need a good HVAC system to keep that wood crisp.
Right. So I think stone and wood was what they had to work with. Sadly, because they were using all of I have no idea of the history of metals.
go on.
But you would think at some point there would be some sort of, you know, because you know, like how now when they build a building, it's got a steel frame.
Yes.
This thing, just a wood, I think, a wood frame. And then if you had termites or if you had rot,
right,
all of a sudden it falls down and you're swimming in your own business.
Yeah, it feels like they should have, the stakes were much higher to just put a plank of wood and hope for the best. Mm.
Right. Should we take lazy toilet design off then?
I think we should.
Okay.
Oh, I see what you mean, to perhaps keep it on because...
It's got to evolve. I mean, the thing is there's only one way to learn how to make a better toilet. It's to make a bad toilet.
It's true.
And boy, did they learn the hard way.
It got real sloppy right there at the end. And, so I would say, I guess, lazy toilet design eventually. Yeah.
Okay. So let's take off no maximum occupancy safety protocols and keep just too many mediators. I think that was more of the problem. It's like, why did they all think they needed to get involved?
Oh yeah, that's that. This is I would say that this is self-inflicted. Mm-hmm. I mean, the thing is if you go into a room and there's already six people sitting on all the. I mean, I get it. We've all been to a sporting event, and you're like, no, I have to go. No, I have to go. And but you get, somebody's got to wait outside, and clearly it was the king and. And the archbishop, maybe. I don't know. Who were the two that were hanging on the side?
That's the archbishop and the king. You're right. Yeah. So I feel like we can take no proper convention center off and be left with between these four. We have to figure out who we're going to give the big slap to, which is kind of our contingency prize. Okay. And who we're going to send to the alarmist jail for this terrible tragedy. And so here's what I'm thinking. I think that the lack of proper maintenance should be sent to the alarmist jail. And I think that we slapped all those many mediators for
the mediators and the people who need to network, because those are the same people.
Yes, those are just big fat noblemen, right? That's what we're calling them.
Yes, that's a good point. Maybe we call them the networkers.
The networkers who were supposed to be mediating and really just showed up because they heard that there was shrimp. And you're just like, come on. So, but what about the lazy toilet design? Did we get rid of that one?
Well, what do you think? Because I'm thinking if it had been properly maintained, perhaps number one, the wood wouldn't have rotted. Mm-hmm. And number two, if they did fall, I mean, it's not great to fall one floor. I'm sure there would have been some casualties, but perhaps no drowning and shit.
Right. They probably would have gotten very dirty. And I bet you they would have killed all of the servants.
Oh, God. So they had to die so that the servants could live.
Yeah, kind of. I think so. I think that the servants were like, whew, thank goodness that one guy who lines everybody up and shoots them is dead.
And, oh, my God.
It's a good point.
It is a good point. I hadn't thought of it that way. Oh. So what do we think? Do we send lack of proper maintenance to the jail or the lazy toilet design?
Gotta be maintenance.
I agree. So too. I think, look, when they originally came up with the design of putting the latrine underneath, and this, they had thought, look, somebody's going to come around and clean all this, but they didn't follow through with that. So it wasn't necessarily a design, the idea. It was more the follow through that they didn't have it cleaned out.
Yeah.
And properly. That's all maintenance. That's all janitorial.
That is totally maintenance.
All right. I'm going to call it the networkers. You're getting the big slap. Mm-hmm. Lack of proper maintenance, you're going to the alarmist jail.
Boom.
You dodged a bullet, mediators. You dodged a bullet.
You really did.
And that toilet designer who dodged another
bullet. Exactly.
Well, I mean, Jackie, thank you so much for joining us and helping us get to the bottom of who's to blame for the Erfurt latrine disaster. I can't imagine anyone else getting the job done as well as you did.
Well, let me just say, I'm such a meddler. I would have certainly been on top of staff. I would have been like, hey, staff, this isn't going to go well, especially every time I sat down myself to enjoy a private moment. I'd have been like, this feels tippy.
That's what they needed.
They needed someone with a very sensitive behind.
There you go.
Again, I'll say this again. You really would have done great in the Middle Ages.
No, that should be your next album.
Yeah.
Jackie in the Middle Ages.
Jackie in the Middle Ages. Excellent transition. Everybody, you guys, I have a new album out and a new special. It's called Staycation, and it's available everywhere that you would imagine.
Don't miss it, guys. Don't miss it.
Among the survivors of the latrine disaster were the meeting's headliners, Landgrave Ludwig III, Archbishop Conrad I, and King Heinrich VI. King Heinrich's survival proved pivotal, as he would go on to become Holy Roman Emperor just a few years after this brush with untimely and unsanitary death. There is no record indicating whether or not this feud was ever resolved. Vote for who you think is to blame by going to thealarmistpodcast.com. Follow us at thealarmistthe on Twitter, at thealarmistpodcast on Instagram, or email us at thealarmistpodcast@gmail.com. Tune in next week. We'll be discussing the Radium Girls.
Powered by Acast.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.